Well, let's turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to look this evening at verses 16 and 17. Let's read them again together. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. There's a lot of interest today in changing identity. Some people want to change their identity out of danger. People who are involved in witnessing in court cases involving dangerous criminals, gangs, mafia, will often ask to enter a witness protection program that gives them a different identity, maybe a different location, a whole different life, in order to keep them safe. Some people want to change their identity because of things they've done. They may have messed up in their lives. They want a fresh start. In fact, when I did a Google search for identity change, the first article that came up was this: how can I erase my identity and start over? There are many such services available, although most of them, if not all of them, are scams. Indeed, the Boston Legal Services Department issued a paper that deals with the myths and realities of identity change. Myth one is, you become an entirely new person. Reality, they say, you're the same person with just a new name or a new social security number. Some people want to change identity because of their feelings. They feel that they want to be someone else. They don't feel that they are maybe in the right body or even the right gender. In 2014, Facebook had in their sign-up profile 54 gender identities you could choose from. And unfortunately for Facebook, it wasn't enough. They were criticized for not having enough options. So they actually reduced it to 12, which seems strange, until you hear that they also added a space where anyone could identify with any word they chose. So how are you feeling today? That's your identity. Well, also some try on different identities. Just feel like experimenting a bit. And so you might see someone one day dressed this way with a certain hairstyle, certain friends, certain pastimes. And then maybe a week or two later, you see them completely different. And they're just trying on different identities. Sometimes we see it on social media, don't we? Sometimes the people are unrecognizable to us. And so different identities are being experimented with as people try on different personas. So you can tell our culture has a fascination with identity and how can I change my identity, largely because people realize that your identity determines everything about you. You either are aware of that or you are not. Those who are aware of it realize that who am I is one of life's central, if not the most influential question, and try to answer it in various ways. Wrong answers, they'll produce confusion and stress, instability. So what's the right answer to who am I? And what are the effects of the right answer? What is the right answer to who am I? And what are the effects of that? That's the question that the Apostle Paul answers in these two verses, in many places, but in these two verses in particular. And it comes in a book where one of his main motives in writing was to defend himself against enemies. Enemies who were questioning his speech, his appearance, his credentials, his gifts. And Paul defends himself in various ways, but one of the ways he defends himself is by explaining his true God-given identity. Whatever they are saying out there, this is who I really am. This is who God says I am. And he defends himself and he defines his identity in such a way that it can help all of us who have any kinds of identity struggles. And who doesn't, to some degree or other? It's really only a question of whether we're aware of it or not. So in these verses, we have Paul's pre-conversion identity and his post-conversion identity, his pre-Christ identity and his post-Christ, or having met Christ identity. So what was Paul's old identity and how did it affect him? Well, here's how we can sum it up. Old creatures make superficial judgments. Old creatures, that was his identity, make superficial judgments. That was the consequences of his identity. So, look at verse 16. He says, from now on, therefore. So remember, he's been speaking about him coming to Christ and the impact of the cross upon him. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. So he's telling us two things here. First, he says we judged people superficially. And then he says we judged Christ superficially. That's me before I was a Christian, he's saying. Let's look at these two descriptions of him and his conduct. So he says we judged people superficially. We know that because he's speaking in the past tense. He's saying, we now no longer regard anyone according to the flesh. In other words, he used to do that. That word regard means evaluate, assess, come to a decision. Something we all do, right? Every time we see someone, we are evaluating, we are assessing, we are coming to a judgment about them. And we have criteria, we have standards, we have our own expectations that we use. And Paul here says his standard, his criteria was according to the flesh. And that can mean two things. Flesh can mean simply physical, with his fleshly senses, his eyes and his ears. He judged everything like the Pharisee he was by outward appearances. But flesh can also mean sinful or carnal or worldly. So probably both are brought together here. He's saying pre-Christ, I was an old creature and I judged people on shallow, superficial and sinful grounds. When I looked at people, I just made decisions on how they looked, how they sounded, how they walked, how they dressed, who their friends were, where they lived, what their hobbies were. Everything was through the senses or sinful criteria. So he didn't bring any spiritual considerations into it. He didn't bring any faith considerations into it. There was no depth. There was no deeper insight. It was all just shallow, just surface, just sinful. And he says that's the mark of someone who is an old creature. Old creatures judge people superficially. But that's not all. He says, we also judged Christ superficially. Again, look at verse 16. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. So it wasn't just people He brought this shallow, superficial judgment to. He brought this actually to Christ. Now, we don't have any information that Paul actually saw Christ in the flesh when he was a Jew and not a Christian. But he heard about him. People talked about him. He was aware of him. And he judged Christ basically on what other people saw and said of him. He just looked at Christ, as it were, through others, and he decided, using only physical senses and sinful criteria. And therefore, as anyone would, if you only looked at Jesus with the eyes, or listened to him with the ears, or through second-hand information, what judgment would you come to? He was just like a Galilean peasant, an imposter, somebody who was making preposterous claims for a mere carpenter from Nazareth. That's how Paul came to his judgment about Christ. It was superficial. So how do we take that into our lives? How do we change our stories with this part of Paul's story? Well, we want to ask ourselves, are we still living as old creatures? Are we still in that old creature identity and lifestyle and criteria and standards? And therefore, we ask ourselves this: what are my values? What are my criteria? How do I assess people? Because our values reveal who we are. Our values reveal our spiritual state. If we make judgments, assessments, and decisions about people or about Jesus based only on superficial criteria, like how people look, sound, smell, who they befriend, where they live, what car they drive, what their job is, what their degrees are, we are old creatures. We are old creations. Our values reveal our spiritual state. If all we see is what we see, then we only see what we see. We're only an old creature. And indeed, when we are coming to judgments like that about people and about Christ, we're actually revealing more about ourselves than we know about them. So we want to ask ourselves, how do I evaluate? How do I assess? How do I come to decisions about others? In my family, in my workplace, in my home, in my community, our values reveal our spiritual state. But then this, our people decisions reveal our Christ decision. Our people decisions reveal our Christ decision. If you look at Paul's logic here, he starts with his people decisions. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. So there's his people decisions. He used to regard people according to the flesh. Then he moves to, we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. And he's joining these two things together, and he's saying to us, if you evaluate people wrongly, you will evaluate Christ wrongly. And if you have evaluated Christ wrongly, then you will evaluate people wrongly. You can't have insight into people and no insight into Christ. You can't have insight into Christ and only deal with the surface with people. That's old creation, old creature identity, and old creature living. So Paul is saying here, our vision is our values. Our vision, what we see, reveals who we are. Our vision is our values. So, what's the right way to make judgments and decisions? We need to become a new creation. We need the creative work of God. You can't create yourself, can you? You can't say, well, yeah, that's me. That's how I live life. And okay, I'm going to make myself a new creature today. Good luck with that. It's not going to work. So what does Paul say here? He says, therefore. He says, this is not me any longer. That was me. It's no longer me. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. New creatures make spiritual judgments. New creatures make spiritual judgments. They have a new sight, new creation, new vision. Look at what Paul says here. He starts with this identity. If anyone is in Christ. This is stunning because this was the very one that Paul despised. The one he viewed as a poor peasant. A lowly, pitiful creature that had to be exterminated along with all his followers. And now, this Christ he was against, that he opposed, that he hated, that he wanted executed, and all his followers with him, now he says, I am in him. That's who I am now. No longer against, but in. What does that mean? It's one of those phrases, isn't it, we use a lot. You know, your identity in Christ. But what does it mean? Well, it means accepted. You cannot be in someone without them accepting you, right? It means he's accepted you. If you're in Christ, you are safe in Christ. If you're in Christ, you are close to Christ. If you're in Christ, you are comfortable in Christ. If you're in Christ, you are rich in Christ. If you are in Christ, you have happiness in Christ. If you are in Christ, that's how God views you. That's when he sees you. He doesn't see David Murray. He doesn't see whatever your name is. What he sees is in Christ. That's first and that's foremost. He doesn't see our name. He doesn't see our degrees. He doesn't see our income. He doesn't see our family. He doesn't see our past, our present, or our future. He doesn't see our job, success, or failure. He doesn't see our sins. He sees us in Christ. Can you begin to imagine what a difference that would make to how you view yourself? You could really grasp all that that means. This isn't a temporary state. This isn't a state you're in when you're a good Christian, but not when you're a bad Christian. This isn't a state that you're in one day and out the next. Once you're in, there's no way out. Once you're in for good. And it's not like, you know, there's an inner circle, and then there's an outer circle, and then there's, you know, most of us and probably the periphery. No, there's only in. If we're in, we're right at the core of Christ and his heart. Here, Paul says, you are in Christ. And how did that happen? How did he go from Christ, seeing Christ superficially, to seeing Christ spiritually? How did he go from Christ as despised and despicable to Christ as my life? Well, it was through a new vision. A new vision, especially of the cross. That's what leads up to this. Remember from last week, we're speaking about the love of Christ in verse 14 and how he died for our sins. And he died so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. He is a new creation because he is a new vision. And he has a new vision because he's a new creation. He sees Christ in a new way because he saw the cross in a new way. He didn't any longer see it as a place of curse but as a place of blessing for him. Not something to be ashamed of, but something to glory in and boast in. Not something that had to be eliminated, but something that had to be embraced. That cross became Paul's identity. It changed his identity. It became his identity. It brought him into Christ. You are in Christ. And what is the result of that? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. This isn't turning over a new leaf. This isn't a New Year's resolution. This is a new creation. Think back to the original creation. What did God do there? He created all things out of nothing by the word of his power. He spoke, and it was done. There was nothing, and then there was something. There was nothing, and then there was everything. And Paul takes that exact same language into what's happened in the life of a Christian. And he says, just as God came to nothing and made something and made everything, so he came into your life, believer, and he saw nothing there. And where there was nothing, he made something. And he's made you into an everything to him. And it's with nothing less than the creative power of Genesis 1. You are a new creation. He continues this creative work. So every time someone comes to faith in Christ, every time someone sees Christ differently, when that superficial, shallow, dismissive judgment is done away with, and you begin to see him there on that cross, dying for your sins, God is speaking from heaven, and he's saying, let there be light. Let there be vision. Let there be a new creation. You are a scene. Your life is a scene of the most sensational creative work that Paul, not only here but in other places, compares to the creation of this vast universe. That kind of power, that kind of sovereignty, that kind of grace and authority. So he says here, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, the new has come. And he's especially speaking of a new vision, a new way of looking, a new way of seeing that results from this new way of being. You have new vision. That's what he's really saying there in verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. True, we used to, and also of Christ, but we do this no longer. We've got new eyes. This new creation has new eyes, new sight, new vision. It sees beyond the surface. It sees beyond the flesh. It sees into the spiritual world. It sees the spiritual nature of what Jesus is, who Jesus is, and what Jesus did. It looks at people differently too. We judge people differently. It's no longer, well, he's tall or he's short or he's fat or thin or she's old or young or fashionable or not fashionable, rich or poor, successful or unsuccessful, failure or not a failure. They dress funny, they dress strange. None of these things matter anymore to a new creature. It's only this. Are they in Christ? Are they new creation? This is the primary focus of this new creature's vision. And it's not saying it's perfect vision, right? But it's saying there is a new vision, an improving vision, a vision that helps us see ourselves differently, helps us see others differently, helps us see Christ differently. And it's a sight unlike our natural sight that is improving with age and with experience. that actually improves with exercise and use. So the more we view Christ spiritually, the more we view people spiritually. What can we take away from this? Well, this great question, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? I was talking to someone recently about where they stood spiritually. And I asked that question. And there was puzzlement. There was befuddlement. There was confusion. Well, I believe he lived and he said these things and did these things. That's not being in Christ. That's something different. Something more. How do we get in Christ? It's through faith in Christ on the cross. Here we're told who the eye doctor is and the glasses that we're given to see differently. And it's the cross. When you see that cross as your salvation, you see everything differently. Wonderfully, marvelously, deeply, spiritually. Only the cross can recreate us. It's stunning, isn't it? The death of the Creator gives life to the creature. Are you in Christ? Make that a question you obsess over till you're sure. You can be sure. It's wonderful to be sure of, because whatever else is happening in life, whatever is taken away, whatever happens to us, whatever people say about us, I'm in Christ. I have that identity. Now, there's a second question. What is your identity? What do you think of when you think, who am I? The more you can center your identity in Christ, the more you can see yourself in Christ, the more it will recreate you. The more transformation you will experience, the more you will see differently. Third question, are you celebrating your new creation? You read Psalm 104 maybe when you get a chance. It's a psalm that celebrates the original creation. Just goes through so many things. A long psalm. Area after area. Thing after thing. Animal after animal. And there's a celebratory air as the psalmist rejoices in God's original creation. How much more should we? If we are in Christ and we are new creations, what, that's celebration time. That's time to rejoice and praise the Lord. We can sing that psalm in a whole new way. A changed identity changes us entirely. And then lastly, how do you see? How do you see? What is the lens with which you view yourself? What's the lens with which you view others? What's the lens with which you view Christ? Are you exercising a very superficial judgment or a spiritual assessment? This changes the whole way we evaluate ourselves, others, our decisions, everything. So we go back to that question. Who am I and what are the effects of the right answer? And the answer is this. I am a new creation in Christ. And therefore I make new judgments about everything. It starts with Christ. And then goes to ourselves. I am in Christ. And then it goes to others. A new view of Christ, new view of self, new view of others. New creation, new vision, new Christ, new Christians. Everything is changing wonderfully. So let's embrace that. I am a new creation. I am in Christ. That will help you when you're getting bullied, when you're getting mocked online or in the yard at school. That will, who are you? You're going to let them define you? It will help you when voices start in your head and questioning who you are and challenging you and the devil lying and insinuating you're this, you're that, you're a failure, you're a sinner, you're dirty, you're shameful, you're whatever word he can find. And no, you see, I am in Christ. I am a new creation. This will help you when you face temptation, when the devil is drawing you into sin, or into the old ways of assessing Jesus and yourself and others. You're going to go, no, that's the old me. That's the old creation. I don't go that way any longer. The old is past. The new has come. I have the creative power of God within me to overcome and defeat. So, let's, every time a voice outside, voice inside, voice from the devil comes, no, you're trying to redefine me, and I will not let it, because God has defined me. God has given me a new identity, and no one is going to steal it from me. I embrace it, I love it, I stand on it, I live in it and through it and with it, and as a result, I make new decisions about everything. Amen. Let's pray. Great Creator, thank you for creating us and for recreating us in Christ so that we can be new creations with new vision. Oh Lord, you know who are old creations here. We beg that you would speak now, that you would recreate right now, that you would give a new creation that will result in a new identity and a new vision of everything. In Jesus' name, amen.